We're going to be talking about Jesus, the Wonderful Counselor, today as we continue our Christmas series, And He Shall Be Called. And in order to understand that verse in Isaiah, we need to realize that some things took place 2,700 years ago during a time in Israel's history when that country was under great turmoil. And that's why we spent last week talking a lot about the government on his shoulders. And what does that look like? Because we're all dealing with governments, and we always will. And so God wants to provide that government that will be perfect, but is in the process of happening now by individuals like you and I who get to influence people into the kingdom. Isaiah wrote in 9:6, he says this, For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And we talked about that last week, and the government will be on his shoulders. Now we will start with what he will be called. That's who he was. You know, as I shared with you guys last week, there's 195 countries in the world today. If you count Taiwan, you know, President-elect Trump, I believe, called the Taiwanese president, and they had a conversation, which breaks protocol, because in the world, our world, in the 195 countries we have, Taiwan is considered part of China. And so President-elect Trump, as he is prone to do, stirs the pot. And so he calls this country, and now there's this little thing going on. So that would make it 196 countries. So even in our day, government stuff is always happening. There's conflicts. There's over 50 wars that are in process right now around this globe. We are a troubled people, and it has always been a troubled earth. So we talked about that part last week, and you might want to get that. But today we're going to concentrate on the first aspect of his character. And it says this in that same verse, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. One of the deepest awarenesses of a person in Christmas or during Christmas time is the idea of need. Some of us in here, Christmas is not a good time. We need more money. Some of us are flying solo, and we miss having a spouse or someone close to us. Or, you know, some of us don't have family. Some of us have been estranged. Christmas can have a lot of connotations for different people. But one of the things we find is we need. Like for me, right now, I need somebody to drive better in our parking lot because it's the third time this year my car's been hit. Luckily, they hit and ran me, so I just want you to know I forgive you. It's all good. And you know what? We have a deep need to be forgiven, too, in this world. And I just wanted to share that. Because I think I'm in need of a new car. That one, obviously, is bad luck. But anyways, Christ child is the gift to a world in desperate times. Now, when we hear the word Wonderful Counselor, when we hear this attribute going to be given to this Son of Man that would come and be a child amongst us and then would carry the government, single-handedly carry the government, it tells us that he will do it with righteousness and justice, but he will also be a Wonderful Counselor. What does that mean? Well, first of all, don't think of Jesus as just an infinitely big therapist. What Wonderful Counselor means in the original terms that it was used at that period of time, 2,700 years ago, was that he would inspire awe. He would create astonishment. He would be incomprehensible. We wouldn't be able to comprehend what he is doing. You know, how many of us have had the Lord counsel us in some way and we found that incomprehensible? We don't like it. We don't agree with it. We don't think it's really going to work. We can't comprehend it. And not only that, it is unerring. How many of us have been to a counselor? And I counsel a lot of people. And then after I, you know, and there's been a number of times after I was done counseling them and a month or two later, and I learned more stuff. I became greater, I need to learn the language, but I became more educated. I realized, ooh, that counsel I gave them wasn't that good. I could have approached it at a different angle. You know, I erred. Well, God's counsel, there is no erring. He knows everything about a person. He knows everything about a culture. He knows everything about a government. He knows it all. And not only is this wonderful counselor unerring, this wonderful counselor has the power to enable a counselee to walk out the instruction he gives. No human being can do that. No human being. I can give you the best counsel in the world, but I'm not going to be with you 24/7. This counselor is with you always and enables you, has the power to do miracles, not only in you, around you. He is truly a wonderful counselor. His abilities are beyond human capacity, and it often... His counsel often contradicts human capacity. He tells us to give to receive. That's crazy counsel right there. He tells us to die to self to gain life. He tells us to love your enemy. He tells us the last shall be first. He says, forgive all the wrongs done to you, and God will forgive your wrongs. He says, pray for everyone. His advice is so far beyond anything you or I might think of. It is incomprehensible. It is life-changing. It is eternal in its effectiveness. See, I might give you something, or someone else might give you some advice that'll affect one thing. His advice is effective eternally. All times and all ways. He is amazing. And his counsel is always fruitful. It produces in one's life. Isaiah in chapter 28. Now, Isaiah in chapter 20, in chapter 9 that I just read to you, was in horrible times. And one of the things you need to understand about Scripture is, if you ever, you know, how many know that if you have insomnia, grab some of the Old Testament. Read about three pages and you'll be out in a heartbeat. But the truth is, that's because we have no idea of the context. We don't understand what he's writing about, what's going on, what's taking place, and it's somebody's fighting somebody who's killing somebody else, and all this other crazy stuff is happening, and what is that all about? One of the things you need to do is you need to step back from that, and maybe, well, I would recommend you do some historical research. You look up the story that is taking place government-wise, country-wise, during the period of time that the writers in the Old Testament are writing about. When you see a prophecy like we just read in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, there's usually a twofold prophecy. Process to that, and I shared that last week. There's usually that something that's going to happen in the short term, and then there's something that's going to happen in the much longer term. So some of the things that God might have spoke to you, or that you were reading in Scripture and it's jumped out at you, that might not come to pass for quite a while. How many know that? Yeah. How many are super happy about that? It's like, yay God. But someday you will say, yay God. So Isaiah in chapter 9 is writing to a country in great turmoil. But then as he moves farther along, he continues to speak over the time and the period he lived in to people that were in turbulent, destructive, rough, rough times. And then so in chapter 28, he says this, and this also comes from the Lord Almighty. So he's saying, besides the stuff, because he tells them bad things are going to happen. God's going to protect them, but there's some stuff that's going to happen. He says, and this also comes from the Lord Almighty, whose plan is wonderful. whose wisdom is magnificent. That's amazing. In Psalm 16:7, we hear this referring to the Lord's counsel. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. That's very intimate. How many of us have gotten something from God at night when we're laying in bed? See, when you're laying in bed, that's an your bed's an intimate place. God says, I am such a wonderful counselor, and I am so close to you that I speak to your heart when you're in the most vulnerable, intimate place in your home. I'm there. You know, God speaks to us at all times and in multiple different ways. But his counsel is good for us. I just, first service, you know, worship was going on. And I'm not so much like you guys because sometimes my mind wanders during worship. And I'm sitting there, but I look like I'm worshiping because it's always important to look like it. So I got my hands up. And I was singing a little bit. And then all of a sudden my head started tripping. I was thinking, how am I going to, okay, you know, I'm speaking a wonderful counselor today. I'm speaking whatever the topic is next week. And then Christmas Eve, I'm going to be speaking about, you know, everlasting Father. Well, okay, Jesus, and I've been tripping on this for like a couple weeks now. Jesus isn't really the everlasting Father. How does that all work? And I'm thinking about this during worship, and I think it was a real powerful song at that point. And I wouldn't know, though, because I wasn't there. But I was in my head, and I'm thinking, I don't know how to do it. And you know what? God spoke to me. He said, oh, no. See, the everlasting Father gave the baby to the earth. And it wasn't about Jesus so much. It was about the Father. And so that's what I, you know, that just started spinning me. And it's like, okay, I've been, now it's in my mind. And I don't know about you guys, but if you're a preacher, you always got something stirring in your head. You're always, there's always, the only time this thing ever settles is when I don't have to preach. And, so that's my world, and welcome to it. But that was intimate. That was intimate counsel to me, and God knowing what was in my mind, he met me there. And he does the same for his kids. And that's what Psalm 16:7 says. It says, even at night he instructs me in the intimate place. He says, I keep my eyes always. We look eye to eye. That's what the Lord wants. He wants to counsel us for our benefit. He is not against us. He is for us. And he says, look, with him at my right hand, I hold hands with God. That's how close he is. That's one of the reasons it makes him a wonderful counselor. I've counseled. I've been to counsel. The counselor doesn't walk with you through your day-to-day basis. The Holy Spirit comes in us, and he walks with us. And he teaches us. And he leads us along the path we should go. And it says this, I will not be shaken. That doesn't mean I won't feel shaken. It says, I will not be. So God's holding your hand even when you're shaken. He is a personal God. In Psalm 32:8, we're said this about our wonderful counselor. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. That's a personal you. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. How many of us don't have that view of God? We don't have the view that he's loving towards us and his counsel is good. One of the reasons we don't follow his counsel is because we don't think it's that good. And, you know, and it can be problematic. And so what does the mighty counselor have to do? Well, he's got to get people to hear his counseling. You know what the hardest part of counseling is? Giving great advice and they don't take it. Have you ever had advice seekers? They want to hear what you got to say. And it's like, that's not exactly what I want to hear. I'm going to go over here. Oh, you're not co-signing. We keep looking for the counsel that will co-sign our stuff. Listen, much of the Old Testament was given to us to teach us something. And this is what Isaiah says in chapter 1. So we read a verse out of chapter 9. We read a verse out of chapter 28. Now we're going back to the very beginning, chapter 1, when Isaiah begins to speak to these troubled people. He says this, "Come, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. I will cover them." Scarlet is a bright red. It's almost orangish color. He goes, though they're that bright, I will put a layer of snow on them, and you won't even be able to see them. Then he says this, though they are red as crimson. Crimson is a dark, deep color. He goes, whether they're real bright and out there, or whether they're deep and in you, far. He says, I will make them like a wool, like a covering. I will make a covering. One will be snow. It's out there. Why? Because scarlet, you can see. Crimson is that thing inside of you, that stuff inside. He goes, hey, I want to settle this. It's interesting, too, when Isaiah's speaking this, in the Old Testament, the drape that protected the glory of God in the temple, scarlet and crimson yarn was woven all through it. And it protected God from the holy place, from where the priest went. So you had the most holy place where God is. You had this huge rug, really, it was a massive drape, crimson and red through it with a couple other colors, to the floor. It was the separating of God from the people, starting with the priest and then everybody else. God was not in their presence. And even then, the Lord says, hey, listen, even though there's this red, this crimson and scarlet thread separating us, come let us talk and we'll settle it. We'll fix it. You may be in a dark place right now and feel separated from God. He wants to settle that matter. He wants to sit down and talk with you and make it better. Your worst is not that big a deal. You know, in counsel, you hear things from people. And it's not unusual for me to be counseling someone and they say, you know what, I've never, and any of you counselors know this, they say, you know what, I've never shared this with anyone before in my life. And to them, the reason they don't is it's a shameful, humiliating, embarrassing thing. And they have kept it secret, and that thing has eaten at them. Because what's ever in secret is still alive, still working against you. And they share it, and it's, you know, I don't say this, and I, you know, it's like, I just heard that like from three other people at different times. It's not that big a deal. But in our minds sometimes, we think what we do is the worst. Like, we are somehow separated from everybody. All the other people of the world are on one side, and we stand alone, unique and freaky on the other side. You know what Scripture tells us? There is no temptation that has come upon you except that which is common to man. It's common. But He'll show us a way out. And then He'll not only will He show us a way out, He'll show us a way to bear up underneath it. He is a good God. But you know what He does in the Old Testament? Do you know that Jerusalem, the capital city of God's land, the land of milk and honey, the place where God wanted to settle His people, has been overrun 27 times? Why? Because they would not humble themselves to God. You know what the biggest problem is in counseling? Having someone that will receive it and apply it. So God, being the wonderful counselor, has to do that in our lives. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:6, He said, now these things occurred as examples, speaking of Old Testament, speaking of the times of Moses, speaking of that stuff. So when you read the Old Testament, you read all this crazy stuff, that's an example to us. He says, to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. We are given that to be not like them. Then he says in 1 Corinthians 10:11, these things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come, which is Jesus. There is a thread throughout Scripture, and we find it everywhere, and it is this. There is a God who who rescues. And he rescues people who are in darkness. That means they can't see the light. How does God rescue people in darkness? Well, prior to chapter 9, verse 6, there is verse 1 of that same chapter. And Isaiah writes this. He says, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those in the darkness or in distress. In the past," and remember this, "he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan." What in the world does that all mean? Well, I'm going to show you here in a little map. During the time Isaiah is writing this and prophesying, the land of milk and honey had already been divided up into the 12 tribes that made up the nation, the people Israel. Up in the northern part was the land given to Naphtali, that tribe. And underneath him was Zebulun, and that nation was given that area. When Assyria and the 27 times, I'm not sure if all those times, Israel was attacked, and then ultimately down to Judah, to the capital of that country, they always came through Naphtali. They always came north of the Sea of Galilee in this way. And even in present day times, when Israel was attacked, they were attacked from the east this way. And then it says, Naphtali and Zebulun, you guys are always getting beat up. You are the least in a way of the tribes. You're the troubled tribe. It's almost like saying you're the black sheep of the tribe. Any black sheep we got in here? You're the one in the family. You were the problem child. Sometimes the problem child is often the healthiest one. But anyway, that's just defending myself. Then he says, you're also in the land of the Galilee, where the Gentiles of the Galilee. The Sea of Galilee was surrounded by Gentiles or non-believers, even during the time of Isaiah, all the way to the time of Jesus. In fact, they, during Jesus' life, you'll read sometimes in the New Testament where they talk about Jesus as being a Galilean. He's from Galilee. That's a put down to him. They're saying to him, you're from the land of mixed, you're from the land of bad influence, bad people. So Naphtali was influenced by this land of the Galilee, the Gentiles. Zebulun was part of that. These were the least of the people. They were always in distress. And then what does Isaiah say? He says, the Lord is going to first honor you. He's going to come and get you. He's going to come and protect you. The Lord does that. He finds the less than other people. He finds the messed up ones so he can honor them. Doesn't mean he doesn't care about the others. Means he looks to honor them. Why? Because he's the great counselor. The counselor works with hurting people. The counselor comes to help those in need. But the problem he faces is that most people don't listen till they are humbled. You know, it's a constant in Scripture that a humbling almost always takes place before people are teachable. 27 times the Lord had to humble Israel to bring them to the place of listening to him. And even today, the nation as a whole is darkened. Now, you might ask, Joe, does it always have to be that way? Does God always have to humble us? You know what humbling means? He means he's going to cause stuff in your life to bring you to a place of pain, to bring you to a place of shame and embarrassment. If you don't listen to the counselor, see, this wonderful counselor knows how to get you. When you go off and do your own thing, he goes, all right, whoa, we're going to play that game, huh? I'm going to shout it from the rooftops. You think you got your outside manicured, you got your good thing going here, but you got this secret thing that I've been trying to get to you to listen to me about, but you're not listening. Okay, we're going to run into a wall, and it's going to be exposed. 27 times. We just read Corinthians says, those guys doing that was given to us as examples to not do that. Because he will humble you. But Joe, does it always have to happen that way? Do I have to be humiliated? Do I have to experience failure? Is that the only way to get close to God? Is that the only way to do it? Is it required that I hit bottom before I turn to Jesus? Is it an inevitable law that I have to be painted into a corner before I look to God for help? Unfortunately, the answer is usually yes. It is often said that our souls can bear anything but prosperity. Anytime God prospers us, we get arrogant, we get independent, and we start doing our own thing, and that's a problem. I'll tell you what, I used to counsel guys at the mission all the time. I mean, I've seen God do amazing miracles. I've seen guys come in. I see them here at the church and the ladies too. Come in with all kinds of legal issues. They've been humbled. They've been rocked to the bottom. They've ran into whatever walls they had to run into, and they got open to God. And then they come and follow that. And then they get up there, and God blesses them, and they start to prosper, and then we go to court, and we start to deal with it. And God steps in and does miracles on their behalf. I've known guys that had to do many, many years in the penitentiary and got off. People that owed all kinds of money, God removed it. See, one of the things I say to people when they come in, and most of the time when I counsel people, they're in crisis. They've hit the wall in some manner, and now they get open to God. And I said, oh my gosh, this is awesome. And they go, what? I said, listen, you have an opportunity right now to know Jesus in a way you never have. He's close to you right now. He wants to bring this close to you. I don't want to grab that. And then secondly, I said, good one. Secondly, I tell him, hey, man, you do not want to miss the grace of God in this. Oh my gosh. God wants to pour out grace on you. He wants to bless you. You're looking at it like it's the worst, it's this, it's that, it's all this stuff. I go, no. God allowed you to smack into that so that you would know him, really know him. Not as the God out there who's got rules and regs, and they're usually no, and it's usually don't do it if it's fun, and you know, and all that other stuff. He's the God who wants you to know him. He wants to counsel you because he's got something good for you. Don't miss the grace then that the wonderful counselor is the miracle maker can pour into your life and do things in you that will be incomprehensible to you. You will be in awe that God did this, that God took me from there to here. I'm in awe. I can't even believe it. That God turned this situation around. God healed this body. God restored this relationship. God did for me what I can't not do for myself. I didn't even think it was possible. Don't miss out on that. So if you're in that place today, and you've ran out of you, and all the best decision making you can has brought you into a hard place, don't miss the opportunity. Don't miss the opportunity to know the Lord in a way you didn't know him before. And don't miss his grace, because he wants to bless. He wants to show you his wonderful counsel. See, because the hardest part of counseling, as I said, is when you won't listen. And God doesn't give up on you. Oh, you're going to listen. But is there another way? Yes, there is. That's the good news. Well, what's the other way, Joe? Glad you asked. The other way is this. Humble yourself. You can be humbled, or you can humble yourself. Well, what does humbling myself look like? Tell on yourself. That's how we humble ourselves. That thing you got going back here, tell on yourself. You can fool people, but you can't fool the wonderful counseling that the counselor will do in your life. See, when I counsel people, I'm trying to discern what they're saying, trying to find where is this going, where's the root to this, what's causing this and that to happen, what's beyond the words. The words reveal, but they don't produce everything that is needed. How would you like to go to a counselor that already knows all your stuff? Oh, he knows every root about it. He knows your thoughts before you even have them. He knows everything, but he's dealing with a person that doesn't want to listen. Because we think, human-wise, we know more than him. We think we still have a better... Any area of your life that you're disobeying God in, simply because you think you got a better idea. Or, you don't want to give it up yet. I call those the pet sins. I like it. It's my pet. And then, you know, I've done it with you guys before. Okay, you ran into the wall, it scratched the daylights out of you. Your pet sin finally turns on you. You throw it over there. Get out of here. I don't want to see you no more. I'm done. I repent. About a week later, come here, boy. Get over here. Come on. Come to Papa. Tell you what. Humble yourselves. His counsel is good. Walk in it. He's the wonderful counselor. Don't miss the grace that God wants to pour out on you. And some of us in here right now, you know, we can say, wow, I don't have any secrets going on in my life. Encouragement to you is awesome. But once you get involved in a relationship of some kind, something's going to show. Something's going to come up. And then you need to deal with that. Then we have to learn to continue to walk in it. In the wonderful counselor. And then we will see what God wants. God is not about being a one-hit wonder. He's not about one, 20-minute session and we're good to go. Listen, there's not anything you're dealing with in your life today that you haven't dealt with before. There's nothing you're failing in today that you haven't failed in before. There's nothing you aren't succeeding in that you haven't succeeded in before. But I'll tell you what, you need, and this is where we get real, you need to tell somebody. The thing that you and the wonderful counselor know about. Why am I saying that? Because it's important. It's how we get free. You know, some things in our life I can get free of just the wonderful counselor, God speaking to me and me to God. There are other things that will only be healed, restored, when I allow someone else in. Why? Because it's embarrassing. It's shame-filled. That's why I don't share it. How many of us have carried something that we know is a problem and we can't get rid of it, but we ain't telling anybody because we don't want to be shamed. We don't want to be embarrassed. We don't want to be humiliated. I'm telling you right now, that thing will come to a place where it will do that to you. Your best bet is to find someone you trust and then become accountable to that. See, we're a recovery church, so we're cool with recovery. You come in here messed up, we get it. You know what I notice about people in recovery? They don't like prideful people. We're quick to call that out. Why? Because we know they're fake. Some of you have rejected church for seasons in your life because you thought that the pastor or some person was at a different level of life than you, and they had their act together in some manner, and then you found out they're just people because whatever they were hiding got revealed. I'm here to tell you today, I'm a dude. So whatever dudes deal with, Joe deals with. I may have longer runs of victory, but that doesn't mean I've overcome it all. And like I said to you, there's nothing you're dealing with you haven't dealt with before. There's not one thing in my life I haven't dealt with before. What my job is to stay tuned and humble and listen to God, because he says he exalts the humble. He opposes the proud. Let me tell you this. If you've got a bunch of issues with people, you're the issue. Humble yourself and realize it ain't them, it's you. And that way God can do something. You got issues in your relationships, marriage, you're a big part of it. Yeah, you're a victim and a perpetrator. We all are. Some of us like the victim mode, but you perpetrate it. I perpetrate my victimhood on you. How many have ever done that, huh? You know, I'd like to do better, but I had a rough childhood. Who hasn't? Yeah. I'd like to do better, but I'm Irish. Can't get over that. I'm Italian. We're lovers. Listen, James 5:16 tells us this. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Is there an area in your life you're not healed in? Humble yourself. Because I'll tell you what, people aren't as dumb as we think they are. You know, people, normally when we start to, you know, I need to tell you something about my life, it's like, finally! We all know it. Anybody around you knows your quirks and your issues. Yesterday, I told Teresa, I told her I wouldn't say this. Yeah, I'll say forgive me later. Because it just makes me look bad, and she didn't want me to look bad in front of you guys. Yeah. We're out buying a Christmas tree. She didn't say don't say it, but I got to tell myself, you know, because this is just pride, man. We're out buying a Christmas tree, and I didn't want to do it anyway. And you know how we are when we humble ourselves, when we don't want to do something. We want to make sure they know it all the way there. Well, everywhere we go, you know. It's not like, see, and that's not owning it. Owning it would say, hey, I don't want to do this, but I'm agreeing to do it, so I'm going to do it with a good attitude. Doing it with a bad attitude isn't any fun for anybody. You're not really helping them. I'll go, but you're going to pay the whole way there. And back, and probably 2 days and more. If you're going to do it. Be a person of your word. So anyways, I go to get the tree, and I take the tree, and, you know, it's all bundled up and stuff, and I turn around, and I didn't see trees right there, and I wanted it to kind of fluff out so we could see, you know, if it was symmetrical and stuff, and I slammed it down, not like this, but like this, to fluff it right on her foot. Yeah. But I didn't want to own it. She was in the way. Now I'm having this whole battle with myself, being humble and admitting that, you know what, look where you put things. But that wasn't the problem. Look where you're standing. So I go home, you know, I say, you know, hon, I've been thinking this through. I think you're 20% of that problem. I'm going to give you a percentage on this. I'm going to own 80%. Putting a tree blindly somewhere. But you own a part of it. She goes, no, that's not good enough. And I go, you had the tree. It was your job. And yada, yada, yada. Listen. So I apologize. And I hope, I think I broke her toe. Yeah. So I'm praying that by confessing this to you guys, you'll pray for her and she'll be healed. And we can move forward. But it tells us this, that prayer is powerful. Prayer is powerful. What you can't overcome, someone praying for you specifically about an issue interacting with you, you can get victory. You can get victory. And the scripture calls us to be accountable to one another, which simply means this: I give an account of myself. It doesn't mean I do everything you say. It means I give an account of myself. So my question to us, some of us in here today, is when was the last time you told on yourself? When was the last time you told on yourself without having been found out? Telling on yourself when you're found out is not telling on yourself. That's what we call getting caught. Think about that. What issue is the wonderful counselor been trying to get you to deal with? Not because he's against you, but because he wants to raise you up. He wants to bless you. He wants to pour grace upon you. He wants you to know him in an intimate way that you don't. He wants to do something great, but you won't humble yourself to receive it. I'm telling you now, we have a whole Old Testament of what happens when we have that attitude. It is far, far better to tell on yourself and then get the healing. And I know some of us don't do that because it's shameful to us. Get over it. You're not that different. Your worst is no worse than a lot of other people. Your best is no better than a lot of other people. You're just another people. We're just people. It's all of this that messes us up. Anybody that knows the Lord and loves the Lord isn't going to judge you. Find someone that isn't judgmental, that is actually helpful, that knows the Lord, that is transparent themselves. That's why it's so important for us to be transparent. I can't teach you to be transparent if you don't know anything about my life. I'm a man. I love the Lord. I've had great victories and I've had great failures, and I try to walk the path God has for me. See, what God might be dealing with me is the wonderful counselor. He might not be dealing with you. My admonition to you is, he is your counselor. Do what he's telling you, and you will benefit. And if it's between you and him, if he's saying you need to tell somebody, you're not getting victory in that thing, you need to tell somebody. Tell on yourself. It's the best thing you've ever done. In fact, that's the best Christmas gift you can give the people around you. You want to give them a great gift and you don't have money? Humble yourself. Oh, yeah. Then you know what happens after that? You become a blessing. You'll become a blessing. People love you more when they know you. Listen, if you think there is no human reason why you should win with the wonderful counselor, you will win. If you think there's no reason in the world how something can work out in your life, and that's why you're choosing your own way, hey, he'll work it out. You think there's something that is so broke he can't fix it? Not a chance. What he's looking for is people with ears to be willing to do what he says to get what he offers. And some of that receiving is not going to be here. And some of it will be incomprehensible. I can't comprehend. I don't know what to tell a young couple that had a miscarriage. I don't know what God's plan is in that. I don't know what all that's about. I don't know why some people get sick and some people don't. I don't know any of that. I don't know why some of us had wonderful families and some of us had the opposite. I don't know all those things. I can't counsel you in everything. I can help you sort through things, but you need the wonderful counselor. You need to ask God the questions that stir in your mind. He will answer them. What you need to do is not try to escape anymore. Don't escape. Stay in it. We're escape artists. It's a bad way to go. We'll just run into the next wall. So So why don't we do this? Why don't we stand up? And you ask the Lord. Now, there's, you know, we got a couple different groups of people in here with different things going on. We got those that are in a bad place because they have refused to humble themselves, and God has caused them to be humbled by situations and circumstances. You have hit some wall. Take this opportunity to draw to Jesus, knowing he loves you, he's your counselor, and he will work on your behalf, and you will see his grace poured out. Don't run. Don't even shame yourself and all that. Just run to him. Then there are those of us that we've got some stuff in here. We really haven't paid a big price yet. We might have paid some price, but we still got some hidden things going on. Presenting ourselves one way while we know what's going on, and we walk in shame in that area, and that hinders us. You know, if we're hiding it, it's alive. It's still doing its work. And you have not humbled yourself to let some other human being into that area. I'm encouraging you today, do it. Do it. That's where your healing will come. God will step in and he will do some amazing things. And then there are others who are doing okay. We've kind of got nothing going on. Just know this. Be aware. Be aware. Don't, because he said, what pride comes before a fall? If you think you got it all going on, you don't. So can we just pray a prayer with me? So how many, without raising your, well, if I ask you this question, you don't have to raise your hand because then we'll all look at you and it'll be pretty awesome. But how many got something they need to tell someone about? Give that Christmas gift to yourself this year. You want to do yourself a great favor? Give that Christmas gift to yourself. Best gift you can give to yourself. And the ripple effect is it will bless many other people in your sphere of life. How many have been in here where you have ran into some wall hard and you've been trying, you know, you can't figure it out? Go to the counselor and he's going to be with you. You'll see him in a way and he will pour his grace upon you. Listen now. Listen to what he says. So can we pray? Lord, I just pray for my brother. You know what? I'll lead you in prayer. You pray with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you're the wonderful counselor, that your plans are amazing. Your counsel is unerring. You know the end from the beginning. You know where I'm at. You know what I'm in. You know what I'm about. Help me. I ask you, give me ears to hear. Help me to humble myself so I don't have to be humbled anymore. I thank you for that. Then give me the power to walk out your counsel in my life. And all those who agree, say amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day.